Mark chapter 6. I'm skipping back about 20 verses. We'll spend our time at the end of chapter 6, but I want to read to you the setup because as we move through our series on finding faith, that Mark brings us through some challenges for the apostles and some blessings for the apostles. So we read about Jesus sending out the apostles. Mark chapter 6, read 6 through 13. Bible says, Gospel of Mark says, Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, and no money in your belts. Wear sandals, nice. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Lord, we thank you that the power of the kingdom overflows into our lives. We thank you that there is opportunity to have command over the attack of the enemy, that we can resist the devil and he must flee. Lord, that our physical ailments are not too big for the kingdom, and we thank you that your provision, Lord, rests in those who abide by your plan and by the precepts that you lead us into for our lives. We pray, Lord, this morning that you would come and speak to our hearts, that you would guide us as you guided the apostles and make provision for us as you made provision for the 5,000 men in that crowd that day. Lord, that we would indeed come to understand the provision of the kingdom of God that is available for us in our lives. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Well, God is good, amen. Aren't you glad you aren't in a hospital room this morning? Float some prayers for Pastor Carlos. I want to tell you a story that was significant in my life. I don't want to... I'm just going to roll into it. It was when I was in Bible college about 25 years ago now. And 25 years ago. And I had received some money. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, I want you to give some money. I want you to give $3,000 to the orphanage. And I'm like, okay, God. And I was at the Bible college, and the orphanage director, who I knew just a little bit, was on a speaking tour. And I had been to the orphanage, and I had visited there, and the Lord had touched my heart and really spoken and confirmed my call to ministry. And I went up to him, and I said, here, the Lord wants you to have this. And he went, he grabbed the money, gave me a great big old hug. And I figured, okay, yeah, $3,000, okay. And I hesitate because I was just being obedient, nothing big. But it was a significant event. And I did not realize how significant that it was until years later, that there was political stuff that was going on at the orphanage and that there was an attempt to close it down and that their bank accounts had been closed. And that they were out of money. And then he was doing this speaking trip to raise money to keep the orphanage open, that they were feeding the orphans broken beans and rice. And that they were like sweeping stuff up just to be able to have enough food for the kids. And that money that I had no awareness of came at such a time that it took them through that gap, that need, that challenge. So that when I graduated, I married Lisa, and 15 days after I graduated, we were down there working. We built 5 churches. We built a school. We built a skating rink in the middle of El Ferrito as an outreach to teenagers way back when. It was an incredible time. And it's an incredible thing of what God can do in His kingdom when you bring what you have. Amen? Amen. We're going to talk about, we're talking about finding faith. And the apostles had just been sent out with the power of the kingdom of God, with the ability to preach the word, with the ability to cast out demons, with the ability to lay hands on people and see them healed. And the message was going out, and the message was being received. They were moving in the plan of God. They had no bag, they had no bread, and they had no money, but they had no lack, because the plans of the kingdom include the provision of the kingdom. Amen? Amen? Last week we looked at the parable of the sower. And Jesus said that He spoke in parables because there was people on the outside that were attacking what Jesus had going on. And He said that there is a truth that is on the inside. That truth of the kingdom of God, that correction within the kingdom of God, is what will redirect your steps and take you out of the crisis, take you out of the need that you experience on a daily basis, and move you into the provision of God. Amen? And so He says, and the apostles are moving within this truth. They're on the inside. As we take a look at the feeding of the 5,000 and at the finding of faith and the building of the faith of the apostles, is even though they are functioning within the kingdom of God, there is still a struggle that they would understand how the kingdom of God functions. Title of today's message is A Miracle for Faith, that Jesus put on a display for the apostles to soften their hardened hearts and teach them kingdom truth. Amen? Amen? Kingdom truth. With kingdom plans is kingdom provision. Amen? 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 Amen. You're on the edge of the kingdom? Step on in. Amen. There is the provision of God. And outside, it is a scary place. Can I get a witness on that? All right, here we go. Kingdom opportunity and kingdom challenge. Kingdom opportunity and kingdom challenge. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. The apostles gathered. Now, there is the story of the beheading of John the Baptist that is in between what we read and where we start reading now. And there's this great feast given by King Herod. And it's opulent and it's out of control. And his daughter-in-law, or his stepdaughter, ends up dancing for them. He says, "I'll do whatever you want. This is so good." He says, "I want the head of John the Baptist." And so it is a display of the contrast of how the world works and how the kingdom works. Okay? All right. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to Him all they had done and taught. And the apostles bring a report to Jesus. He had sent them out with the power of the kingdom, and they come back and they are fired up. They had indeed preached the gospel, and there was a response. They had indeed cast out demons. Now, can you imagine casting demons out of someone? That might leave you a little pumped up. Can I get a witness on that? Can you imagine healing someone? Now, Mary Jo had back surgery a while back, and there was recuperation and knives and all this stuff that was going on. But can you imagine coming up and praying for somebody and saying, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, be healed." Bam. Think that might pump you up? Well, these guys came back and they were pumped up. But with kingdom power and kingdom opportunity comes kingdom challenge. Kingdom power, still available today. Amen. You think about that opportunity that was available to the apostles. Jesus says, as He is going to heaven, being raised, He says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in Me will do the works that I have been doing." Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning? Amen. If you do, the power of the kingdom and the resources and the provision of the kingdom is available to you. He says, "We'll do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you would live your life stepping into the kingdom and being obedient to the Father and bringing glory to Him, there is nothing that is impossible for you. And that is what He is trying to teach these apostles. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. But with the opportunity for the kingdom, there is challenge for the kingdom. Because He sent out the 12, and then in another chapter or so, He sends out 72, the apostles and other believers. And they cast out demons, and they heal the sick, and they come back with great joy. But in the midst of that celebration, pride rears its head. They begin to have an argument about who would be greatest in the kingdom of God. I think I'm going to be better than you. Oh, no, I'm going to have the power. And Jesus says, don't celebrate that the demons submit to you in the name of the Father, but celebrate rather that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? It is your salvation that warrants a celebration, and your participation in the kingdom of God is merely an act of obedience. He says, let's not get things out of kilter here. We need to keep the most important thing, the most important thing. All right, let's keep on going on. We just read one verse. Next verse, Mark 6:31. Then, right, they come back, bringing the reports. Man, we're casting out a demon, healing the sick, preaching the word. And what's happening? The crowds are coming. The word does not return void. Can I get a witness on that? There is great interest in what the Lord is going to do. Because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. And He said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, functions in the midst of the people of God. And the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is surrounded by need. And it is that need that provides opportunity for the kingdom to spread. The people are coming running. They're not coming running because they're healed. They're coming because they're looking for a healing. They're not coming because they're full. Jesus says, you're following me just because you want to get your bellies fed. People come running to the message of healing because of the need in their life for a transformation. Amen? They are moving. These guys are moving in the ministry of God, and they are exhausted. Anybody relate to that? See, George around here, sometimes he's looking a little bit tired. Sometimes I get a little bit tired. He says, come on, man, let's take a day off. Let's get some rest. Let's get some recharge. Let's take a minute. These guys are moving in the power of the kingdom. They are pushing back the darkness. They are pushing back the gates of hell. And they're fired up. They're doing it all with no bread, with no bag, and no money. But they can't get away from the crowd because the need is so great. People are coming looking for solutions to their problems. They exhaust every natural solution. And then they open up to kingdom solutions. Amen?
Amen.
We've been going out to the skate park. Been talking to you about that for the last many months. Joe had gone out there and said, man, it's a dark place. Miguel went out there laying the foundation, and I've been going out there every day, mostly with Dana, Wendy one time this week. We fed 140 meals this week. And I told you last week that we have the Jesus table, and we have cake, we have ice cream or something. You want to sit down, and we're going to have a conversation about Jesus. I really expected, I've been praying for it, we would see some kids from the Jesus table here today, but there is none that are here yet. They come for the cake. And they come for the ice cream. And many of them have no interest in hearing about the Lord at all. Not even for ice cream and not even for cake will they sit down. But there is a crew that we're building. Sit down for about 15 minutes. Kid sat down, he's been sitting down most of the week. Dana thought he might be homeless. Had no place else to go, no place else to eat. Said he was going to come. He said, can I come in this? You'll be totally welcome in that. Says to his buddy, come on. And his buddy says, nah. And he goes, no, man, these stories are good. They're interesting. We're talking about Jesus.
All right.
It's need that creates opportunity for the kingdom.
Amen.
It's darkness that provides opportunity for light.
Right.
And as we shine that light, as we meet that need, you might get a little bit tired. Amen? All right, let's keep going. People come running. I'll tell you, Dan and I drive up and we do a count, you know, and there'll be like, I don't know, 10, 12 kids. And as we start setting up, all of a sudden these kids come from all over the place. She says, it's like they're waiting for us to show up. You know, they know what time we're coming because we always show up at about 4:20. And they do come running out of the woodwork. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. It's their day off. But many who saw them leave recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Manifestations of the kingdom will draw a crowd. Supernatural power of God will generally elicit an interest, even from those who have no interest in the kingdom of God. You know what I'm talking about? These folks, they wanted to see what was available to them in the kingdom of God, and they came running. And the apostles can't get away. The people were already there. This was supposed to be a day off. The crowd was not concerned about their rest one bit. Crowd came running. Jesus responded. It would have been easy to say, hey, man, let's just keep on going. Let's go to the other side of the lake. We'll get away from all these people, have our day off. But Jesus responds with a heart of compassion. He says, these people are like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd turn wild. Shepherd provides protection. Shepherd provides healing. When a sheep is harmed or scratched or cut or something like that, he'll take it and clean it up and put some oil or some healing salve on it. And so there's care and there's provision. And sometimes there's correction that is brought to the sheep that will not submit and come in line. These people come running. Crowd comes running for care. But that crowd often has little interest in correction. And it is that lack of correction that continues them in a state of need that will keep them on the edge of the kingdom. An opportunity to step into the light. Does that make sense? All right, let's keep going. By this time, it was late. So the disciples came to him, said, this is a remote place. We're on the sticks, Lord. It's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you yourselves give them something to eat. Talk about kingdom opportunities. And kingdom resources. Kingdom opportunities. Kingdom resources. They say, Jesus is getting out of control. There's not enough food. Well, let them go. Let them go get some food. And Jesus, we don't even have enough for us to eat. This is supposed to be our day off. We haven't had anything to eat all day. But Jesus has more than a meal in mind. It is lesson time for the apostles. You give them something to eat. Jesus is shifting gears here. It's no longer about a day off. It's no longer about getting rest. It is time to start piercing through some of the hardness in the apostles' hearts. Build faith in the apostles' hearts. You give them something to eat. And they're like going, no way. There's not enough. Jesus sees they are struggling with kingdom truth. They had just come back. No bread, no bag, no money, and no lack. No shortage of supply in the kingdom. When you're about the kingdom's plans, there's kingdom provision. Amen? They had just come back off the road. Don't take anything with you. Take a stick. Find a house. Stay there. Stay there as long as they'll keep you. Then go find another house. They came back. They had nothing with them. Why? Because they had no bag. They had no bread. They had no money and they had no problem. Now all of a sudden they got the giant crowd because of the result of the preaching of the kingdom of God. And oh, this is too big for the kingdom. And Jesus says, guys, what is up? You have been manifesting the kingdom of God with demons and sickness, and now you want to turn everybody away? Time for a lesson for the apostles. They had no faith for the kingdom to meet the needs of the crowd. Got a call. I talked to Pastor Dave yesterday, and Pastor Dave will be here on Wednesday. I called him last Saturday at the board meeting, for the board meeting, because I want to share the board what his plans were. He's come back and does ministry and stuff. He says, I have no clue when I'm going to be there. And so I call him. I said, Dave, come on. You don't know if you're leaving in 2 months and you're leaving in 2 days? He goes, oh, it's so crazy around here. This will be, they're planning on moving to San Diego, he and his new wife, Evelyn, and they're going to be to a ministry, retiring here and being used in a mighty way by the Lord. Amen? This will be the second time. Actually, maybe the third time. Dave's moved all around. But he came once, and he made a 3-year commitment with us, and he was going to raise money so that he could stay here. And I asked him, how much are you planning on raising? He said, $2,500 a month, and I started laughing. I mean, I go, Dave, you're a single man. I don't make half that. And he goes, well, no, I'm just trusting God and this and this. And I go, go for it, buddy, you know. And so he raised the massive amount of $700 a month. And he's starting to trip out going, where am I going to live? I don't have any money for rent. I don't have anything to do. And Mike Schwab, a man who had, he's a board member here. I mean, he probably went to this church for 60 years. He was in his 90s, and he says, Dave, Pastor Dave, you can come and live with me for free. And Pastor Dave saw that as he was stepping into the plans of the kingdom, that God was making provision for him. Amen? Amen? Now, this was not the place that Pastor Dave would have picked to live. In fact, Mike liked to collect things. Mike had 2 sets of furniture in his living room. 1 set in front of the other one. They got shows about guys like Mike now. Oh, man. But Dave had his room. It was not the place that he would have chosen, but it was the place that God used to mold him for kingdom service. You got yourself, God, I'll step into your plan. Are you looking for your provision or his? Because sometimes his provision is not what you would choose, but it is what you need. Amen? Amen? Amen. 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 Whew. All right. There we go. People come running. What do you have to start with? What do you have in your life that you can bring to the kingdom of God? What do you have that you can lay at the throne of the Lord? Say, Lord, this is what I have. I want to be in your plan, and I'm going to trust in you for my provision. Because the Lord can work with anything. The king can work. I'm glad the Lord can work with anything because he's working with me, and I didn't start off with much. Amen? Amen. They said to him, that would take more than a half year's wages. I did the calcs on this. 17 grand is what we're talking about if you convert everything out. And that's California minimum wage. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? Jesus asks, how many loaves do you have? Go see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. The loaves they talked about is about the size of a biscotti. Okay? You guys know what biscotti is? That's a picture of biscotti. It's like about that big, okay? It's not really like a whole loaf of bread, but it wouldn't have been cut like that. It would just been baked like that. And so they had 5 of these, like, biscuits, all right? I'm just trying to give you that for a feel, something about that big. And they had 2 fish. Now, the fish are not like the fish that the kids go out and catch on the deep sea boat. No, these would be like the bait that they use on the deep sea boat. They would be like sardines or anchovies. And they would take these anchovies, and it's actually kind of disgusting if you think about it, but they would take them and they would just take the whole fish and they would just like spread it like butter on top of the biscuit. And so you would have like a fish biscotti. Okay? But that's what they ate. You know, I mean, that's what they ate back in the day. And so so he says, okay. And as you read this, and as I read this, and, you know, I'm trying to bring a message here, I'm wondering what the significance is of the count. You know, I don't know if Peter comes up and says, Lord, we got 4 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus goes, oh, we don't got enough. 4 loaves, can't hack it with 4. Sure glad you got 5. I don't think that's what we're looking for here. They did go make a search, and they did go scour and found all that they had. And one thing I do know is the Lord likes to work with all. Amen? When you bring all, the Lord can work with it, no matter how big or how little it is. He said, the woman gave 2 mites. It was all in that day. But I don't think, per se, it was even all. I think it was, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish. I think he was saying, we don't even have lunch for us, guys. You just came back from a kingdom tour in which you were able to trust God for your provision, and here we have no provision for us, and now all of a sudden you have lost your faith that God would provide for you, and if he can provide for you, he can provide for 5,000 easy. Amen? Amen? Kingdom supply overcomes worldly need every time. Amen? Amen? All right. Plan of God includes the provision of God. Jesus wants the apostles to begin to look to supernatural solutions to natural situations. Anybody can go to the store and buy bread. There is no miracle in buying bread from the store. Can I get a witness? That is a worldly solution to a worldly situation. And if we are going to find our faith, if we are going to build our faith, we must begin to look beyond a natural situation, beyond a natural solution, and find supernatural solutions to every challenge that faces us. Amen? The apostles have a lesson that's coming. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Jesus says, my father has cattle on 1,000 hilltops. Feeding 5,000 is no problem for him. Can I get a witness on that? Better tie into some supernatural cattle. And see the hand of God revealed among us. Last thing we're going to take a look at. Faith makes a way.
Faith makes a way. Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of men, just men, who had eaten that day were 5,000. Total crowd, 10 to 12 to 13,000, including women and kids. Quite a miracle. Jesus says, set things up. Have them get in groups of 50, 100. Put some structure to the miracle. Structure is not against the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen?
It's okay to have a plan. God has a plan. He says, have them put in groups. Without the groups, it would have diminished the miracle of God. Because Jesus, I believe, it's not stated, but I believe that Jesus would have started breaking the bread, multiplying. I mean, it's a flat-out miracle what Jesus did. He is talking, it's a, what they call a creative miracle. He made more than was there. Okay? You tracking with me? And so he's breaking the bread. He looks to heaven. You've got to remember, this is a kingdom event. And in our lives, we need to realize, Lucy is in there. Anybody listening to the translation? You hearing that okay? She's tripping out a little bit earlier. We prayed, God, do a mighty miracle. Lord, you let there be an anointing upon Lucy. And maybe it didn't happen this time, but it'll happen next time. Amen? God doesn't mind if you struggle a little bit. The apostles are struggling here, but it happens at the end. He says, put them in groups, and he starts multiplying the bread. And without the structure, great mounds of bread and great mounds of fish would have begun to pile up. And some bold person would run up and grab an armful and run off, and they would have much, and they would trample much, and many of the people would have left with nothing, and some would have left with an abundance. But the Lord says, have them get in groups. And he hands the fish, and he hands the bread, and everybody begins to receive the fish and the loaves, and everybody has their fill. There is so much that there are 12 baskets that are left over. And the 12 baskets are significant in that every Jew had one of these baskets. It was like a lunch pail. You know, you have them lunch pails when you're a little kid, like I don't know, Power Rangers lunchbox, you know. It was something like that. Except it was a little wicker basket. Every Jew had one because when you left, you would stash up enough stuff for the day so that you wouldn't have to grab any Gentile food or Gentile supplies. You would have your little kosher bag, and it would be enough for the day. And so these apostles who came with no bread, no bag, and no money, exhausted, have not eaten, looking for a day off, move through this day, the Lord feeds 5,000, they are fed, they are restored, and each one of them walks out with a basket full of bread and a basket full of fish. Kingdom plan. Kingdom resources. Each one of the Gospels shares an accounting of this miracle. As they walked out of there, set for the day, they begin to pierce their hardened hearts, begin to understand the plan of God includes a provision of God. How are you today? Are you on the edge of the plan? Are you in the middle of the plan? Jesus refers to this miracle twice in Mark. He says, are your hearts so hard to the apostles? Are you not ready to step into the plans of the kingdom with confidence? He walks on water. He does miracle after miracle after miracle as a display of the power of the kingdom that is available. You step into the plans of the kingdom. It's a challenging message. So many of you are here because of a need for care. So many of you showed up on the doorsteps of this church in incredible need. We're surrounded each week by need. And so few who want to receive the correction. Because it is correction that will move you further into the plan of God and the purpose of God and the provision of God for your life. Amen. Some of us just sleep it through. I need a day off. That's what the apostles were looking for. Many of you come here today, haven't come here for some cares, come here because of your need, and have received so much more. You have moved into the plan of God. You have moved into the correction of God. And you are moving into the provision and the purpose that God has for your life. And I celebrate with you. God would use you to do mighty things. Lisa, you can come on up and play. A miracle for faith. That God would reveal the kingdom to each one of us so that we can grab on and come to an understanding of what he has. Ladies downstairs teaching, scared to death. Oh, Lord, how can I do this? New greeters. Oh, Lord, how can I do this? There is opportunity to move into the kingdom, and as you do, there will be challenge, but there will be reward, and there will be fullness, and there will be growth. And you will come to understand that the hardness of your heart can be softened. And that your faith would grow and that you would grab onto the plan of God and you'll begin to receive the provision of God. Amen? Amen? Many of you are there and this week you're taking steps and you are seeing the provision of God in your life. But there are some that are here that come because of need and the correction of God or the plan of God or redirection of God. I don't need it. Lord, just hook me up for a minute and I'll be on my way. Just touch my need, heal my care, and I'm down the road. I'll be back in a minute. And this morning, the message of Christ comes through the apostles. See, that crowd, there was 5,000 that got fed that day, and almost none of them stuck around for the correction. Jesus began to describe what is required for the life of the kingdom. And they said, well, we don't want that. We're just here for the fish and the bread. And Jesus turned to his apostles and said, aren't you guys going to leave too? And they said, you alone have the words of life. Where else are we going to go? Lord, I come to you this morning. Lord, and I pray for that person that is here that is coming for just a fish sandwich, maybe a hamburger, maybe a chicken wing. Lord, I pray by your Spirit that you touch need and you touch harm. And that by your Spirit you are a healer this morning and you begin to open the plan. That you begin to bring forth the provision, Lord. That you bring forth that correction that moves us further and further into the midst of your presence. And that we can indeed be transformed. I know many of you are in the process of that, but I speak to that person, those people here this morning that struggle with that, struggle with surrender, struggle with obedience, struggle with that correction. And I pray this morning that need that you experience and that continues to hound at your heels will always be there until you celebrate the correction of our Lord. Nobody looking around this morning. But you realize, I mean, I just can't get away from this need in my life. I understand that I'm on the edge of the kingdom just looking for a little fix. Lord, I want more this morning. I hear you speaking to my heart, and I want what you have. I want to move into your fullness with nobody looking around, but the Lord speaking right to your heart. And you would say, oh, Lord, I want more than fish, and I want more than a loaf. I want fullness of the kingdom, Lord. I'll surrender my life. I'll give you all that I've got. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to be transformed. Nobody looking around, that's you. I just want you to slide your hand up. Say, that's me this morning. Everybody else say, that's me. Amen. Back here. Back here. Praise the Lord. You're here. Lord, speaking right to your heart. Say, I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to lay it down, Lord. Didn't put your hand up before. On you, that's you. Everybody else say, that's me. Let's all stand. Worship team is coming. Up here is a great place. Just sing a song. Take my heart, I lay it down. If you want to lay your heart down, this is a place to do it this morning. I challenge you to be obedient. I challenge you to move from